Welcome to another church podcast where we're talking all things ministry so that you can do church better. I'm your co-host, Chris Wesley, joined by John Rinaldo. Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas, John. How's it going?
Is it Christmas or is it Advent? Should we get into
that debate right here, Chris? Oh, man. I just got Jesus juked a week before Christmas. Oh, you, John, come on. We've been
Merry
doing this long
Christmas.
Enough.
Yeah, Merry
Christmas.
Yeah,
come on. Oh, man. All right.
We should get into a conversation about when can we start playing Christmas music and when do we decorate? No.
That's not what this podcast is about. I was gonna, bring in the holiday cheer, and John just rained on it with his purple Advent rain. So there we go. But I'm sure as I was saying, ho ho ho, Merry Christmas, half of our audience was cringing, being like, it's Advent, like this isn't a Catholic podcast, and then the other half was just like, oh my gosh, I love Christmas, But put that aside. Yes, that's a podcast for another time. When should churches start celebrating Advent or Christmas over Advent? Let's put those that argument aside, and let's talk a little bit about how do we approach Christmas as a church, as a parish, and maybe we do talk a little bit about the decoration and everything. But we are in the third week of Advent as we're posting this podcast, and it's kind of a tricky year because the fourth Sunday of Advent is also Christmas Eve. And, that's kind of what got me interested in talking about the subject with you, John, because, I know there are a lot of churches who are like, oh, what do we do? Do we, especially if they have that evening or afternoon mass on a Sunday, do we cancel that? Do we just make that the Christmas Eve mass? Do we expect that people will actually come back after Sunday morning mass and come Sunday evening for Christmas Eve? What's the church to do?
Follow the lead of our Pope. You're like, what?
Okay.
I think it's really interesting. We had this conversation too. For those of us who are on liturgical calendars, the fourth Sunday of Advent falls on December 24th, as you just mentioned. Now, our parish here locally is doing exactly what you said. We're canceling the Sunday evening mass for the fourth Sunday of Advent, and then but we have all of our Christmas Eve services. So
right. We
have our 2-4 p.m. services, our 6 p.m. service, our 8 p.m. service, our midnight service, all on there. But one of the interesting conversations we had is, how do we educate our parish community in terms of the idea that the fourth Sunday of Advent is still, I'm going to use the term that I sometimes don't like using, but it is very much in our Catholic repertoire. The fourth Sunday of Advent is still an obligation, as is Christmas. And certainly in the Catholic Church, it's made it very clear that we are highly encouraged, we are obligated, we are required, whatever adjective you want to use to describe it, to attend Mass on the fourth Sunday of Advent and to turn around and attend Mass on Christmas. I think the Church is clear in terms of how to do that, but practically speaking, I think, Chris, your question is really intriguing. How do we communicate? How do we educate folks to understand that, but to also embrace it? And I think that's a really valid question.
Yeah, I think that's where we have to really focus in on that balance of grace and truth. It's you want truth where you want people to know that you need to go to that fourth Sunday of Advent, and that shouldn't be a substitute for Christmas Eve Mass or for Christmas Mass. Or actually, the reality is people are substituting Christmas Eve Mass for that fourth Sunday of Advent, and that they shouldn't. But it's not like you shouldn't because you're going to go to hell. You shouldn't, sort of thing. Which is where I think we as Catholics have to be so careful not to come off that way. It's more of you should, because you want the full experience of God's grace, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's when you're asking people, hey, what are your plans for, Christmas Eve or Christmas Mass services, and ask them that question, they're like, well, we're going to go to Christmas Eve Mass and then go out to dinner. And then you say, are you going to go to Christmas, are you going to go to the fourth week of Advent Mass? Ah, no, we just decided that it was too much. And that's not the time where you'd be like, well, sinner, this is the time where, God and then Jesus juke them like you did at the beginning of the podcast. But it's where you kind of say like, all right, you know, like we'd love for you to come, but I totally understand. And we'll see you at Christmas Eve Mass. And then you have that conversation later, especially if you have that relationship with them one-on-one. Or you have that conversation with them before Advent even begins, you know, and kind of clarify to them. And it comes back to my favorite question of the why. Like, right? Like, why do they need to experience all four Sunday? Why do they need to come back to church twice on one day? You know, like, why can't there be some like rollover, like our banks and our cell phones and everything else in this world does, right?
I think it's an intriguing question. Now, my family has come up with the perfect solution for this. This is what I love about being Catholic. We have Saturday night Mass. So December 23rd is Saturday. That's the fourth Sunday of Advent. So we're going to Mass on Saturday night for the fourth Sunday of Advent. And then we'll go to Mass on Sunday night for Christmas Eve. And again, we're Christmas Eve people versus Christmas Day people. And so, you know, so we're definitely going to go on that Sunday. So that's one potential solution. But I think you bring up a really interesting question, Chris, in terms of, I think it's, how do we communicate that? What tools do we have in our resources to really encourage folks to think differently about their Sunday obligation or their Sunday Mass experience, and that this is something that they should want to do? Because quite honestly, if you are a liturgical geek like I am, and you look into the readings and the experience of all four Sundays of Advent, Advent is not complete without that fourth Sunday. When you look at scripture, when you look at the readings, you know, it's kind of leading up to what we're about to celebrate on Christmas, on the Nativity. And so for me, because I'm a dork and I'm happy to be a dork in that way, I want that complete circle because I feel like it's going to be incomplete. You know?
Yeah.
But it really raises the bigger question too. It's like, how do we move? And this is, again, another topic for another podcast, but how do we move people from the idea that, oh, Sunday Mass is just what we do every week. And so we're just going to be here and, you know, and maybe we'll go if this priest presides, but if this other priest doesn't preside, then maybe I won't, or the music's terrible. How do we move people away from those things that are important, but to truly come to a liturgical experience, a church service experience where they come because they're fed.
Yeah.
And they're fed through the liturgy of the word. They're fed through the liturgy of the Eucharist, regardless of all the external pieces, which are important. And that's kind of where I want to move people towards. I love going to daily Mass when I can. Now, I don't do it very often, but again, daily Mass is not an obligation. But for me, I love the experience of the Mass. Mm. And so for me, I want to move people away from obligation and move people to say, I'm fed. This is where I want to be. And I think of like, how do we really educate people? And, you know, we've talked about, do we send some email blasts out to kind of remind people about the fourth Sunday of Advent and Christmas? Do we put some things in the bulletin? Do we not do anything and assume that they get it? You know, that was actually a question that we had recently at a staff meeting at the parish, and say, do we need to communicate anything? And it was really intriguing, you know, I'm not sure we came to any conclusions about how to do that. But at least it got me thinking about, what do we do?
Well, and I think you nailed it right there. The first thing that we need to do is just communicate what is going on at the parish, right? It's that we're not canceling masses, or maybe we're just eliminating the evening Mass on that Sunday because, you know, of Christmas Eve Masses, that people just at least need to know what their options are. And you do want to put that more on their plate than your plate. And then after they make the decision, that's when you can have a conversation with them. But a conversation with people that you know and trust to have that, because it really is a personal conversation. Because, and I think this kind of leads us to the big thing about Christmas, is this is like one, if not two, but probably the only chance that we get with a lot of people when it comes to them giving us a chance and coming to church. Because even more so than Easter, people will choose Christmas because it's more traditional, more part of the holiday spirit of getting dressed up, going to Christmas Eve Mass or even Christmas Day. And I would argue that more and more people are actually going to Christmas Eve Mass than Christmas Day Mass. But that's the one chance that we have. So what do we do when they sit in that pew? How are we going to greet them? And I think that this is a time where everyone on staff and of all of our volunteers need to be on their A game. And that's a challenge, though, because I can tell with your pause right there. Yeah. So
well, it's your pause. And so it begs the question, and right. You asked this, Chris, before we got started, is Christmas masses an all hands on deck experience for staff and other volunteers?
Yeah, well, and I've, in the two churches that I've worked at, both have said it's an all hands on deck, but how that's executed is very differently. As many of our listeners know, my previous parish was Church of the Nativity. And one of the things that we're very much well known for, especially in the Maryland area, is that we have our Christmas Eve Mass at the Maryland State Fairgrounds. And so what that means is that we're able to host on average about 8,000 to 10,000 people a mass. There's two masses that that Church of Nativity has at the Maryland State Fairgrounds, and it's done excellently. It's done high quality. And I remember just being on that staff, it was such a grind, and there's a lot of positive moments from it, a lot of like memorable moments from it. And then at my current parish at St. Joe's, we definitely take it up a notch. We expand our ability to seat more people because more people are going to come to church. But I mean, the expectation is that, it is a work day, Christmas Day and Christmas Eve day, but you can take that off. Where at Nativity, it was, you couldn't really take that day off unless, it was an emergency or, something else that was discussed previously. So that alone, I think, brings up a real tension where those of us who are lay ministers, especially with families, whether we're married or not, but have these family traditions, I think we have to come to a real reality when we work in the church that our tradition around Christmas has to change. And not necessarily to the extreme where you have to be pedal to the metal going into the Christmas Eve or Christmas Day Mass, but that, this is your busy season, just like an accountant's busy season is during tax season, or a teacher's busy season is that month leading up to the first day of school. We have to acknowledge in church that Advent and Christmas are those busy seasons where we need to up our game a little bit more.
I think you're going to get pushback on there, because I don't think anyone disagrees that liturgically speaking, Christmas is a big deal and is one of the most important celebrations that we have in the liturgical calendar. And we have more people attending Mass on a regular basis, and even leading up to, Christmas. So during Advent, as people come home from college and you've got more guests starting to arrive into town, different things. So you start to see an uptick in Mass attendance in Advent as well. So I think this is really interesting, because part of the question is the culture of your parish community. So the parish communities I have been a part of, it's not all hands on deck.
Right.
And because of that, I have certainly created a mindset in my personal life that Christmas and New Year's, and that time between Christmas and New Year's, is off and is focused on family. It's focused on all sorts of things. And I've got a huge, on my wife's side of the family, got a huge extended family. Less so on my side of the family, but their requirements, right? Anyone who's had to negotiate marriage understand the requirements of the holiday seasons. That for me to give up Christmas Eve, Christmas Day with family to go and do ministry, that would be a stretch for me, quite honestly. And again, I'm not part of a culture that necessarily talks about all hands on deck. And I think a lot of our staff travels, but we also have a lot of parishioners that travel. So some of our key volunteers who help with liturgy aren't around during the holidays either, because they're doing the same thing with family obligations and kind of moving on, all sorts of things. So for instance, we've been working on figuring out who are going to be the hospitality and usher ministers during these masses. And we have our typical list of people that we use for masses. a lot of them are out of town or they have other obligations. So they're not doing that. So I think the bigger question then is, well, there's two questions. You know, is it all hands on deck? And how do we build that culture if it is all hands on deck, if you even want to build that culture, which I guarantee you, Chris, there's going to be communities who don't want to create that culture. And I get it. And then how does that translate into our volunteers, especially those in liturgy, making this an important aspect? So what were some of the strategies that you guys used in Nativity to make that a priority?
Well, you know, some of the, I think first the, what worked was that the majority of the staff was willing to commit to that because we saw the need, because we saw that what we did at Christmas Eve kind of set the tone for what we're going to do for the rest of the year. And in fact, a lot of the different things like the technology that we used, even the music, even the systems we have for our volunteer programs, helped us then take that back to the main campus and adapt there. And so in a way, Christmas Eve helped us get better as a church on a regular weekend liturgy. So that was one thing that definitely happened there. One thing that I will say that churches can do, though, if the whole all hands on deck thing freaks them out a little bit, is to not necessarily mean all hands on deck means everyone works at the same intensity at the same level. You know, because I think it's going to be different for different people. For example, as a youth minister, my impact on the liturgy doesn't really, and I'm going to be careful how I say this, doesn't hold as much weight as the pastor, right? Because, you know, you need the priest to have the actual mass. The youth minister, I can be interchangeable on that. But as a leader on church staff, you know, my presence is necessary. So what does that look like? Am I standing at the front door as people are coming in, making sure that people see me and I'm greeting them so that I'm a face of St. Joe's or Nativity or whatever church you might be a part of? You know, am I being a Eucharistic minister so that people see that, you know, I'm not seeing this as a day off, but that I'm a part of that community as well? I think this kind of bleeds into the question of, you know, again, should all staff be present on the weekend for a regular liturgy weekend? And I think that's where it's going to be a challenge for church staff. If that's not a requirement on the other 51 weeks of the year, then how can we expect that to be the case on Christmas Eve or Easter? So I think it's really important for us to really look at that. The other thing too is because this is something that we had talked about, it was discussed during my hiring process at both churches. That was also a reason for me and my wife to sit down. I mean, I wasn't married at the time I took the job in Nativity, but even with St. Joe's, to sit down with my wife and say like, all right, I'm going to work at a church again. You know, that means Christmas and Easter. I'm going to be on duty. Like, what does that mean? And my wife was actually, she was the one who was just like, well, what's going to be different? You know, that's what you've done, you know, the last, 13, 14 years that I've known you. So how is that going to change? But I think, it really has to be about communication of what does that look like? Does that mean everyone is present at all the Christmas Eve masses? You know, if you're doing like six Christmas Eve masses, you know, of course it sounds ridiculous, but if you're only doing two, which is another thing at Nativity, we were only doing two. It doesn't seem as much, you know. Also, are you doing a midnight, you know, mass for Christmas Eve? You know, like, cause that people are going to be a little reluctant to do that because then they have to go home and wrap the gifts still, or like, what does that look like? And you know, Christmas Day masses, are you going to have that 7:30 a.m. Christmas Day mass, or is it like a 9 and 10:30, you know? And this goes to something we talked about in a previous podcast episode with volunteers. What does your volunteer corps look like? If you have a healthy volunteer corps, if you have an enthusiastic staff, if you have everyone who's on the same page, tackling something like Christmas Eve isn't going to be as big of a deal. I mean, or I should say, it's not going to be as tense, or people aren't going to have as high emotions going into it as you would if it feels like, oh, I got to do it. Everything myself.
I think your point about all hands on deck during regular Sunday masses versus Christmas, I think that's a really interesting point. I think everyone gets that Christmas and Easter is a bigger deal than your typical liturgical cycle. But again, it goes back to culture, right? It's about building that culture. And so if you don't have the culture of doing this during regular weeks, then can we expect to even do that at Christmas? So maybe we should have recorded this podcast 6 months ago, Chris, you know, so that we could talk about that particular issue, which I'm going to write that down because I think that's an interesting topic for us to delve into in the future is what is the expectation of a staff and a church on a regular Sunday, you know, and what should we be doing there? And we'll see how that feeds into things like Christmas or Ash Wednesday or the Triduum and Easter, because they're all connected and we can't really separate Christmas or the other holidays from the regular Sunday experience because they all feed into each other. I think, I'm not sure we're going to come up with any solutions here, Chris, quite honestly, because I, you know, for me, like I'm not ready personally. I'm not ready to give up. And this is my thinking. Okay. So this is Ronaldo thinking. It's like, I'm not ready to give up what I do in my traditions and with my family, to be an all hands on deck at Mass. Now that's my own personal struggle, but I am sure there are folks listening to this that are thinking the same thing. It's like, I'm not ready for that. And so really it begs the question for me, what do we really do? It seems to me that there needs to be some really, you know, prayerful consideration on what this really means. And I think it needs to be a conversation with that the pastor leads, not right now, this week,
right.
But after Christmas, you know, as we head into, you know, January or whatnot, do we sit here and have some conversations as a staff about how do we best handle Christmas and Easter and any other holidays that are like that? And start the conversation now when you're not, or later, when you're not in the thick of the holiday planning. I think that needs to come from the leader, because if the pastor doesn't expect an all hands on deck, then there's no way that any of us that are on staff are going to be there.
Oh, I agree. I wholeheartedly agree. It comes from leadership. And I think, you know, definitely the first step that people can take listening to this podcast is let's have a conversation. Let's set a date in the new year, sometime in early January, to reflect on the quality experience that people have on Christmas Eve. Because I think it comes down to also, you know, all hands on deck. The reason I think that's important is because you want to provide a quality experience. You know, I was sharing with you, John, that before we were recording this, that I had a conversation with a priest, and the priest was like, hey, help me prepare for the family mass for Christmas Eve. And I'm going to keep it short. I'm going to talk to the little kids and everything. And I said to him, I was like, don't talk to the little kids. Talk to the parents. Talk to the parents, because I hate to admit, I love my 7 and 4 year old son, and they both listen and pay attention during mass. But they're not going to care on Christmas Eve. My wife and I, we're going to care, because we're going to be saying, like, we got these kids in suits. We got them all dressed up. We struggled to get them here. We had to walk all the way from the back of the parking lot to sit in these seats. Like, what do you have to say for us, you know? And so I told him, I was like, speak to the parents. Speak to the people who are giving this their last shot of ever going to church again. Don't, like, the little kids, they're going to enjoy it if it's a quality experience and everything, meaning the music's good, that they're comfortable and everything along those lines. But make that homily towards those people who have not come to church in a long time, and let them know that they're loved, let them know that they're valued, and that they're there for a reason. And I think that's what's going to draw them in. And then with all of our volunteers, and I think that's where it kind of gets into the all hands on deck and staff led. When people are walking in those doors, are they being loved and greeted? Are they being welcomed back to church for the first time? You know, the holidays, it's coming out on this podcast. It's an emotional season where, you know, we're remembering lost loved ones. We're remembering past hurts. We're remembering, you know, beautiful memories and everything. And if we're greeted by an usher who is like looking grumpy and saying like, find your seat and you know sit down, mass is starting, father's talking, or we get a priest that says, you Catholic and Easter you Christmas and Easter Catholics, like you should be ashamed of yourself, if they hear that, like, of course they're not going to come back to church. Absolutely. I mean, this is first impression one shot kind of deal. And I guess the challenge that we have to put on ourselves is, you know, how are we going to rise to that occasion?
Well, you're talking the language of evangelization, right? You've got people coming who don't usually come. So I agree with your point, you know, to your priest that you're talking to, is that the homily does need to focus on the adults that are there. I think that's absolutely right. I mean, a lot of churches do, like, you know, nativity plays and things like that with the kids, you know, and that's all great. And I love that, you know, but there's an opportunity here in the homily and in the hospitality of welcoming to remind people that the church is a place where we want you to be, and right. that you are welcomed and that you are loved. And so the homily is a perfect opportunity to do that. And I'm not a priest, so I'm not going to go into homiletics or anything right now, you know, but we need to take advantage of this season, this opportunity to kind of get people to connect, because I would love to see everybody that comes to Christmas Mass. I'd love to see them next week and the week after and the week after. Now, I know we have guests that are traveling from out of town and whatnot, but the reality is those CEO Catholics are there Christmas Easter only. And how do we welcome people? And it's hard on Christmas masses because parking is a mess and there's more people and seating is a mess. And you got people who have no idea what the communion flow is supposed to look like. And have no idea of what the regular routine of your parish is. And it's hard to stay upbeat and friendly as a hospitality minister when you're dealing with craziness. I was going to say stupidness, you know, which sometimes there's stupidness.
There's a little bit of that too. There's a little bit of that too.
You're dealing with craziness and you get impatient. So for me, you know, we developed a new hospitality ministry at St. Catherine. And although a lot of our volunteers won't be around for Christmas, those that are, we're reminding them of the training that they went through and said, this is a key opportunity. You know, so even though we don't have our normal mass schedule, I want you to be there and I want you to do your welcoming and hospitality like you would normally do on any given Sunday. And really encourage that. And I think there needs to be a reminder of that. And so an interesting idea, I've never done this, but an interesting idea, Chris, is that maybe during Advent, you know, that we do a little mini training with all of our liturgical ministers and remind people of the importance of welcoming and hospitality and some strategies around how to do that and how to be patient in the craziness of it all as well.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's an excellent idea. And that's one of the things that I do miss about being at Nativity is around Christmas Eve and Easter, we would have these large like pump up rallies for all of our volunteers, all of our ministers. And serving on those Sundays, it was a lot of work. There was a lot of planning, but there was also a lot of community too. And I think those, you know, some of the emotions that we have, and one thing I want to encourage everyone as they go to Christmas Eve or Christmas Day Mass this year to think about is just what it would look like if their tradition changed, but it changed to something more exciting, meaning like we get to celebrate Mass, we meaning staff and volunteers with our new family and our new friends, you know, traditions have to change. I mean, even if what you're doing right now with you and your wife is what you've been doing for a while, when your kids get older and if they get married, you know, they're going to start new traditions and it's going to be like, oh, you know, what am I going to do? Like, why can't they come over and do what we used to do? I mean, I guess for me, maybe as a child of divorce and, you know, single parents and everything like that, Christmas has always been changing. So it's a little bit different, but I think that's something where I would really encourage people as they sit in the pews this Christmas Eve or Christmas Day Mass to really reflect on, okay, next year, how can we make this just a more quality experience? And one thing that I want to kind of just go back and touch on that you mentioned, you know, you talked about the Christmas pageants and everything. I think the reason why we get to Christmas Eve and we're just like, oh, you know, I can't even think about working Christmas Eve or Christmas Day is it feels like it's the end of this race, right? It's the finish line to Advent, right? And that's because we tire ourselves out during Advent. You know, we have Christmas pageants, Breakfast with Santa, you know, in there, you know, you've got the Immaculate Conception, you got the Feast of St. Nick, you can throw in, you know, all these different, like, there's different traditions and different things that we need to do. And some of them, of course, we need to do, but some of them you don't have to. And some of them, the ones that you don't have to, I would say, like, re-examine them and say, is this sucking the energy out of us so that when we hit Christmas Eve, we're just done, mm-hmm. you know, because we've got to finish strong. We got to finish strong to the Advent season so that we can enter into the Christmas season with a whole bunch of joy mm-hmm. and not like regret and eggnog hangovers, you know? So
yeah, that's a really interesting point, because after Christmas is really kind of it mellows out, because you mentioned Immaculate Conception, Feast of St. Nick, there's Our Lady Guadalupe, there's Sangabi, mm-hmm. there's novenas, there's all sorts of things leading up to Christmas Eve. And then we do Christmas Mass, and then like, okay, breathe, right? There is a right. lot. Interesting. I've never thought about that, how much there is in the month of December. But when I look around at my parish right now, I'm sitting there going, well, people are busy.
Right.
People are trying to figure out, how do we do this? There's Advent concerts and all sorts of things. And there's
right. And we're busy in church world, and we didn't even talk about all the holiday shopping, Black Friday, Cyber Monday, you know,
Christmas gifts for anybody, for me.
I'm just trying to, well, we all know that's a lie because you're married. And, you know, I'm just trying to speak to our people here, John. But you know, if you haven't picked up yet, John is uber Catholic because he goes to Mass 7 times a day, especially on Christmas Eve, and he doesn't partake in any secular traditions. No,
not true at all. I just hate shopping.
Yeah. All right. Well, hey, that's why I think man's greatest gift during the season is Amazon. So, you know. But anyway, you know, great conversation, lots of emotions in this. We would love to hear from you guys, what your thoughts are on the whole All Hands on Deck. You can share your thoughts with us via email at questions@thechurchpodcast.org. You can share with those ideas with us on Twitter at John Rinaldo or at Chris R. Wesley. Definitely, we would love to hear from you guys. And, you know, also, again, just that challenge of when you're sitting in Mass this Christmas and this Christmas Eve, you know, asking the question, like, what can we do more to invite people back to the church? How can we be more welcoming? John, do you have any last thoughts?
No, it just that I want to wish you all a happy Advent and a blessed and merry Christmas. And thanks so much for being part of our church podcast community.
Yes, we are so thankful for you all, and definitely happy holidays, happy Advent, and ho, 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 Merry Christmas. Thank you for all that you do for the church. We can't wait to see you next time.